Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So, spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies podcast, go watch it and join us again for the fun. Potential explicit content warning. We're going to try not to, but there may be cussing and vulgar language and innuendos and stuff.
Yeah.
So you've been warned. Yeah.
Warned.
What up, dude?
Sup?
What's up, my dude?
How are you?
Stressed. Stressed out.
That is a mainstay of life, I'd say.
Yeah. So, how you been, mate?
I've been all right, you know, just living life like we do, and, not much going on, so.
Yeah.
Looking for jobs and stuff, and not getting them.
Yeah, I'm looking for, you know, something.
Yeah.
Something.
You should do one of those reality shows, like Flavor of Love, or whatever.
Maybe. I've just been, like, you know, slaving away at my job, working, like, 16-hour days all week and stuff. So, I've done nothing this week. I've worked, and that's it. Pretty much, that is exactly what I've been up to since the last time we've spoken, listeners. Yeah. People who listen to us. I was going to say chat, like, as if we were on Twitch. But, well, you know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah,
not
yeah, you know, it's not really.
But, yeah, dude, it's the struggle. So, like, my work, I've been working out in, like, the Hayward office, which is, like, in the San Francisco Bay Area. I basically wake up at, like, 2:30 in the morning, go to work, and get to work by 4 o'clock. And then drive out to the Bay Area, work all day, and come back to Sacramento. Don't get off the clock to usually like anywhere from like 7 to 8 and somewhere in there. So roughly pushing 15, 16, somewhere in there, hours of work every day. Mm-hmm. I have just enough time to go home, eat, and sleep.
Wow.
That is like exactly how I've been living for the past
riveting.
Like, I don't know, like 8 days or so of work. Something like that.
That is.
It's been awful.
It's not a good time.
No. I've been, like, too tired, really, to even do anything on the weekends as well. Because it started not this last week, but the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, I don't even know what's going on right now. Like, I have to get up and do it tomorrow, and it's going to be awful. I'm not looking forward to work this week at all.
Yeah. I've been learning how to make armor out of aluminum.
Oh, for what? What would you possibly need armor for, Christian?
For a
cosplay. Are you like preparing for like the zombie apocalypse or something?
Well, I don't think aluminum would do a good job.
Well, you know, you never know. It's all trial runs, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you go out and you get bitten. I mean, what's the worst? You know, you're a zombie then.
So I figured out like what tools I need and everything, and I'll need a lot of cans and a lot of little grommets or whatever the hell they're called.
Grommets?
I don't know. They're these little things that connect like the metal to metal kind of things, you know.
Metal to metal.
It's like called like a gommet, like G-O-M-M-E-T. And it's like, you know, like the little, you know, little round things, like one goes in the other and like one goes to the top, one goes on the bottom, and they kind of clashing it. Whatever. All right, I'm learning about it.
Yeah, dude. Do they go inside each other? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Our bad luck continues when it comes to opening magic, but whatever. We have discovered the new greatest show on television.
Oh, yes. We might actually have to pick this show up. I'm not sure yet. We're going to give it another week. But, oh, man. Yeah. Riverdale. If you guys have not checked it out, it's based off of Archie Comics from, like, back in, like, the 1800s or something like that when the comics were invented. And, like, seriously, it's, like, probably the best new, like, drama on TV at the moment. Like, it's so good and, like surprisingly, like the content that they're producing on it and stuff for like the CW network is a little surprising, to be honest.
Yeah, Archie Comics started like Archie Comics was like the definition of comic books you'd find in newspapers before it came to actual comic books.
Yeah.
Like Archie Comics were more comic strips, but they told the story through newspaper. And then there were magazines, and then there were comics, and now Archie Comics is, you can find, I mean, they're still writing them. They're still coming out with new ones. They did spinoffs, Betty and Veronica. Yeah. Jughead had his own spinoff, I believe, at one point. Mark Waid is doing the current run on it, so if you like the past Daredevil series with Mark Waid writing it, you'll probably like Archie right now. So
probably.
So, yes,
it is a likely thing.
If you guys aren't watching it, go freaking watch it right now.
yeah, do yourselves a favor and check it out. I know I enjoy it. I know Christian enjoys it, so you guys will probably enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
You know, me and Christian will talk amongst ourselves. And, you know, just kind of decide what's best for this show and decide whether or not, you know, there's just enough there to talk about, which, you know, it's looking promising. We're going to wait another episode to find out.
I don't know. I don't think we have any more updates before we get to news.
You know, the usual stuff. Right now we're on Facebook Live at the moment. See, just another reason for you guys to be following us on all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, all that good stuff, because you get stuff like Facebook Live, you know, our live podcast, Periscope goes straight to Twitter, and maybe depending on what the limitations on Instagram are, we'll do Instagram Live as well someday.
So check us out on all our social media. This past week, for those of you who ordered stuff from us, you should have got it for the most part. Zach, one of our friends, posted a picture on social media. Thank you, sir. You look great in that shirt. Yes, Scott's wearing his sweatshirt right now for anybody on live to see. Looks pretty cool.
Looks pretty cool. Come on, bro. It looks amazing.
Epic.
It's so sick, bro.
So we'll probably be, if other people post pictures, we'll share them, or we'll try to get pictures with people. We'll try to get pictures of us with them and post them, and you guys can all see how cool they are and that you missed out. So good luck next time.
Yeah, better luck next time, pal. Yeah, my mom also bought one, and she's in town. She, like, resides in, like, Arizona. She's just out here visiting some family and stuff, and I got to see her yesterday, and we took a picture, so I'll also be posting that on social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys did buy any of our merchandise, please contact us and let us know what you guys think of the material, the quality, and everything like that. And also, if you're interested in meeting up and taking some pictures with us, so we can post it on our social media.
Yeah.
Would be awesome, guys.
Yeah, our other friend, Alex, got his as well. He messaged us on Facebook about it. He was like, hey, guys, got my stuff. Send us a picture. It was pretty cool. Didn't send us a picture wearing it, so, you know, kind of hard to post that. But, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll get into our news now, yeah?
News.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
Cool. Just some updates real quick as well. This is kind of news. It's kind of news.
You said news and then you're saying updates.
It's kind of news.
Whoa, we just, you know.
But this is news. It's just not.
What are you doing? What are you doing to us and the listeners, man?
Legion starts this next week. So that's a piece of news. Powerless. Okay, time to read some news. Marvel's The Runaways cast revealed. See, I didn't give you this one because there's lots of names.
Sick, thanks, man.
Following the announcement of the cast of Marvel's Cloak and Dagger, which was our next article, Marvel made another big reveal about their TV productions with the lineup for the title heroes of the series, Marvel's Runaways. The Marvel's Runaways cast includes Ariella Bearer from New Girl in One Day at a Time as Gert Yorks, a purple-haired, bespectacled contemporary riot girl.
You having trouble reading?
No, that's what it says.
I know that.
Never
but
passing up a moment to stand on a soapbox, Gert sometimes wields her persona as a brash social justice warrior to mask her true feelings. All right. Oh, sorry. I hit my mic. Lyrica Okano from The Affair and Unforgettable. She's playing Nico Minoru. She's tough, intelligent, and independent. Embodies teenage angst. Building Wiccan, Nico's carefully crafted goth appearance isolates her from her peers and family. But maybe what she really needs is someone to talk to. Renzi Feliz from Teen Wolf and Casual as Alex Wilder. He is a loud and proud nerd, like us. Admittedly, a bit of a loner. Alex spends much of his free time playing video games, but deep down, what he wants most is to reunite his childhood group of friends. Greg Sulkin from Faking It, Don't Hang Up, and Antisocial is playing Chase Stein, who is a lacrosse player, high school heartthrob. While many write him off as a dumb jock, Chase exhibits flashes of untapped brilliance in engineering, not unlike his wildly successful father's. Virginia Gard... God damn it.
Did you just, like, exit?
No. Sorry, guys. I minimized for some reason. Whatever.
Dude, how upsetting would it be if you, like, exited it and, like, you didn't even save it?
I saved it.
I'd have been like, I'm done with this.
Guys, you don't know this. I don't know what's wrong with my computer, but, like, Microsoft Word stops working occasionally, and I'll have, like, half the news done, and it'll just crash. And then it doesn't save it. It doesn't recover it.
And then, like, it makes me laugh. Chris looks like he's going to punch me in the face or something.
Yeah. Virginia Gardner from Go and Little Biznatches. Yeah. Ha-ha. As Carolina Dean, model perfect exterior with a lot going on behind her professionally whitened smile, is burdened by the lofty expectations and responsibilities put upon her by her parents. Underneath her veneer of privilege and perfection, Carolina is experiencing a newfound eagerness to explore her identity and pursue her own desires. Allegra Acosta from 100 Things to Do Before High School and Just Add Magic. She's playing Molly Hernandez, the youngest and most innocent member of her friend group, and she is known for her peppy positivity and a deep yearning to belong. Jeff Loeb said this. The fun and chemistry that this group of talented actors create is wonderful, and we're so excited to bring these beloved characters to life. And The Runaways, if you didn't know, comic co-creator and series executive consultant Brian K. Vaughan added, I'm so excited for fans of the comic to watch this perfect cast of amazing actors, all of whom embody the spirit of their characters more than I ever could have imagined. We have had a total blast bringing Brian and Adrian's amazing story to life. We're so happy that they love The Runaways we've assembled as much as we do, added executive producers, showrunners Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage. Marvel's Runaways is in development to premiere on Hulu and focuses on a group of six teenagers who discover that their parents are actually a team of supervillains.
Sick, bro.
Sick one.
Woot.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Woot. All right. Aubrey Joseph and Olivia Holt cast as Marvel's Cloak and Dagger. Marvel has officially announced that the casting of their heroes Cloak and Dagger for the upcoming series, with actor Aubrey Joseph from The Night of and Run All Night. What?
This dude's in a lot of night things.
And former Disney Channel star Olivia Holt from I Didn't Do It, cast as the title heroes, Tandy Bowen, a.k.a. Dagger, and Tyrone Johnson, a.k.a. Cloak. The characters of Tandy and Tyrone have always stood out to me ever since I met them in the pages of Marvel Comics when I was a boy. When Olivia and Aubrey read read for the roles, these characters left off the pages. We were so excited to see what these talented young actors bring to the Marvel Universe, said executive producer and showrunner Joe Pekoski. Marvel is delighted to have found our Cloak and Dagger. Olivia Holt and Joseph Aubrey encompass the true essence of the characters, and we are excited to see the audience see them in their roles, said Jeff Loeb, head of Marvel Television and executive producer. Marvel's Cloak and Dagger is a coming-of-age series based on the beloved Marvel characters Tandy Bowen and Tyrone Johnson. Come from the starkly different backgrounds, each growing up with a secret that they dared never to share with another soul. Once a privileged little girl, Tandy Bowen watched as her family was destroyed by a disastrous storm that uprooted her life. Now, in her later teens, an unexpected encounter with a boy named Tyrone sparks a life-changing event. Young Tyrone Johnson wanted nothing more than to prove he was fearless. But when everything he held close was taken away, life taught Tyrone to be afraid. Now older and more sheltered, Tyrone closes himself off, but when he meets a girl named Tandy, his life changes forever. Okay, Marvel's Cloak and Dagger is produced by Marvel Television and ABC Signature Studios. The studio, the series is targeting a winter 2018 debut on Freeform. I was about to say Freedom.
Freedom!
America. Created by Bill Mantlo and Ed Hannigan. In the pages of Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, Cloak and Dagger have fought alongside the X-Men, the Runaways, Doctor Strange, and even Captain America, Secret Avengers during the first Civil War event.
Yes. Yes, they did. I'm excited for that show. Hopefully, hopefully it's good. Hopefully.
Yep.
All right. Now moving on to the dysfunctional studio. Temuera Morrison is in talks to join Aquaman. He played Jango Fett in Star Wars prequels and voiced Moana's father, Chief 2. He's in negotiations to join the cast of Warner Brothers Pictures and DC Entertainment's Aquaman. According to Hollywood Reporter, he would play Aquaman's human father.
Sick.
Why don't you tell us about who would play his mother?
Oh, okay. Nicole Kidman is in talks to play Aquaman's mother, Atlanta. That's what I said.
You said ta.
Oh, did I? Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, moving on.
Wait, you want to move on to the next article? Or
yeah. Okay. I mean, that's the article. Okay, maybe I'll give... while the character's origins have been shifted a bit over the years, Atlanta made her comic debut in Flash Rat Tales, 1959's Adventures Comics number 260. Initially, Atlanta, an Atlantean who fell in love with a human, Tom Curry, was depicted as having died before Aquaman came into prominence as a hero in modern New 52 continuity. However, Atlanta is a significantly more prominent character and faked her death in an effort to escape Atlantis' oppressive rule.
Yeah. All right.
And more Aquaman news.
The Get Down's Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. is in talks for Aquaman's Black Manta. Hollywood Reporter, again, because they're just doing all the work in the world, brings word that the Get Down star, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, is in early talks for the role of Black Manta in Warner Brothers' upcoming Aquaman movie. The film is already high into pre-production, with the Australia-based production set to begin soon. Black Manta was created by Bob Haney and Nick Cardy in Aquaman number 35 in 1967, and though the character fought the King of Atlantis for decades, it wasn't until the 1990s that he was finally given an origin, which has changed over the years since. But originally, Black Manta was a child abused by a ship's crew that he was a member of, seeking revenge against Aquaman as an incarnate of the sea, but recent iterations of the character have seen him blaming Aquaman for his father's death and seeking to kill the hero for revenge.
Sick one. Glad that they're on a trail to cast their Black Manta finally.
Yeah, I'm glad that...
Yeah, that's good news.
I'm glad that they're on a trail for Aquaman, but let's talk about something more dysfunctional now.
Ben Affleck will no longer direct the Batman movie. All right.
Good, didn't see that coming.
Didn't see that coming. Ben Affleck has stepped down as director of the Batman, reports Variety. Affleck will, of course, still star and remain a producer of the solo film. This was a quote from Affleck saying, "There are certain characters who hold special places in the hearts of millions," Affleck said in a statement. "Performing this role demands focus, passion, and the very best performance I can give. It has become clear that I cannot do both jobs to the level they require. Together, I feel like there should be an and there.
Together with the studio.
Okay. I misread it. Sick. I have decided to find a partner in a director who will collaborate with me on this massive film. I am still in this and we are making it. But we are currently looking for a director. I remain extremely committed to this project and look forward to bring this to life for fans around the world." Warner Brothers Pictures added, "Warner Brothers fully supports Ben Affleck's decision and remains committed to not doing anything to work on this film." So, I mean, okay, they didn't really say. They said they remain committed to working with him to bring a standalone Batman Pictures, but, you know...
Which, they're okay. Probably just happy because they see this as an opportunity to put in someone they want who will destroy it.
The studios and Affleck will now begin searching for a new director. Variety says there is a short list, and they are hearing that War for the Planet of the Apes director Matt Reeves is among those on the list.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens with the future of Warner Brothers, but I still think this is just more dysfunctionality. So
yeah, I mean, you know, it's a thing.
Yep. So last bit of news. Peter Capaldi, who is the 12th Doctor, said, I feel...
Whoa. Who is the 12th Doctor?
Peter Capaldi.
What are you talking about? A doctor from where?
Doctor Who.
Okay.
All right. He said, I feel it's sort of time for me to move on. He tweeted this out, it appears. No, he spoke to BBC Radio, and he said, it will be my last series, talking about the upcoming season, the 10th modern series of the show's 36th overall series, is. He said, this will be the end for me. I feel it's sort of time for me to move on to different things.
Yeah, such as, you know, the end of your lifespan.
Yeah, and then there's just a bunch of stuff I can't talk about because we haven't caught up, so yeah.
Sick.
All right, but that's all the news.
Sick one, guys. So we're going to move into our show.
Yeah, we're going to kick it off with Gotham. All right, cool. Gotham. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
Sure. Gotham, Season 3, Episode 14, Mad City, The Gentle Art of Making Enemies. Tensions mount as Enigma and Cobblepot captured and defeated. But, okay. Gotham has been plunged into darkness as Jerome wanted. The streets are rioting. Hey, that sounds like us, you know, in the United States.
Yeah.
Jerome's goons are breaking and looting while Jerome also sounds like our streets. Jerome himself confronts Bruce Wayne and Alfred.
I mean, he doesn't really confront Alfred. But okay. Good episode. Very good episode.
Jerome's parts were good.
Yes. So you didn't like the Penguin stuff, huh?
No. Yeah. Not at all.
Saw that coming.
And then, like, the ending bugged me quite a bit.
The ending bugged you?
Yes.
The Bruce Wayne thing?
Yes.
I thought I was establishing, you know.
The dumb thing. Shut up!
Isn't it good? Like, isn't that what you love about, like, characters like Batman and Superman is, like, their ideas, like, the ideology behind not killing people? Or you just didn't like how they made it super explicit? Like, they're like, he's like, my first rule is I won't kill anybody.
Do you not remember what happened after that?
After
that.
Hold on.
There was a meeting hall.
Oh, you're...
For a Court of Owls.
Sorry, that was loud. Oh, you don't like the Jim's uncle is like one of the leaders of the Court of Owls. That's the thing, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're talking about. You're talking about Penguin getting shot. All right, hold on. Bruce's clone.
That's not Bruce's clone.
Yeah, that was Bruce's clone. Remember? Yeah. You thought that was actual Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, he got into the vehicle like 100 episodes ago. I forgot about that.
So now you...
Oh,
like
okay,
it more?
Never mind. I thought that was like Bruce Wayne, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? I thought for a second, I was like, wait, is that his doppelganger? And then I was like, no, he left town.
He tried to leave town.
Yeah.
Then the court took him.
And they're like, get in.
And then Gotham.
Come here, little boy.
And Gotham's like, hey, guys, we still have pacing issues in our freaking third season. So, all right.
I was just, like, so uninterested in, like, the whole Enigma Cobblepot. I felt like the execution with it all was, like, very...
Poor.
Yeah, poor.
I like that he shot him.
Yeah, I like that, too.
I think that worked out nicely. But, like, why go through all that, like, weird manipulation? Like, some of, like, the house, like, or, like, the ruling class of Gotham kind of thing, like, the criminal underground ruling class of Gotham, like, can be interesting. But, like, when it's just, like, a feud between, like Enigma trying to get revenge for this woman or whatever, like, I guess it's his springboard into becoming the Riddler, quote-unquote.
But, like, I'd rather, like, him, like, have, like, became the Riddler, like, now. Like, you know what I mean? Like... almost make that transformation now into it, because like I just think it would have been a lot more entertaining to see him essentially like poster on Clues for Cobblepot, Penguin, yeah. You know, like, yeah. I thought it would have been a lot more interesting that way, but he was just, you know,
like, what,
stringing him along, and then he's just like, maha, it's me.
Yeah.
I was just like,
yeah.
This was a lackluster end to this little rabbit hole here.
Yeah. But, let's talk about the very real kind of aspect of Bruce Wayne actually becoming Batman. Right?
No, I thought, yes.
Yes, because that was kind of happening, right? The carnival thing was very comic booky.
Yeah,
very
dude.
Reminiscent.
Of, what's it called?
Killing Joke.
Yeah, Killing Joke. And the New 52 about, like, you know, like, with the Joker and how, like, he has his face stapled on as well. I mentioned that last week.
Yeah.
And stuff. And, like, dude, like, this show is, like, pretty graphic. Like, that was, like, pretty intense, dude. I was like, oh, and, like, hella disgusting, dude. Like, how his, like, face was, like, coming off and he had to keep stapling it. Yeah. And I was like, man, Jerome is so good, though.
yeah, he was great. Like, when he said, like, Gotham has no heroes, and I was like, man, not yet, it doesn't.
Bruce is like, not yet,
Bruce
it doesn't.
Is like, I won't kill you, but I will Batman the snot out of you.
He's like, there's no heroes yet, but wait till I go to the mountains.
But he already went to the mountains, remember? And nothing happened.
Oh, yeah, he went to, like, the Alps or some shit.
I will not kill. Yes, that was Bruce's powerful thing. And then his clone, and then Jim's uncle, yeah, is, like, in the Court of Owls, because why not?
Because I was like, yeah, dude, that totally makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, and Penguin got shot, but he's not dead, so we know he's not dead. But,
yep.
Yeah. Yep. Jerome was great.
Yeah.
Bruce was really good as well. Yeah.
Jim and all them are just neither here nor there, really,
yeah,
for me.
The
I was
Penguin
like,
subplot was subpar.
Subpar, so. Not on par.
Grade?
Grade. I would give it, like, a 7.5.
Yeah, I give it an 8. Jerome deserves an 8, so. Yeah.
I mean, his performance alone saved the episode.
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't for, like him being back in Gotham... I don't believe that this episode would have been any good. Like,
probably not, no.
Like, the whole just Enigma and Cobblepot thing was just, like, threw the entire pacing of the episode on off, and then just, like, the lacklusterness of that whole story arc coming to an end now, and it's just like, okay, what the hell? Apparently Cobblepot's assumed dead.
Yeah.
You know, like, with these comic book television shows and stuff, and especially this one, you know, until, like, you know, you recover the body and, you know, see them dead, they're not dead. And even then, apparently, you know,
right.
Like, you still just bring them back to life through reanimation and stuff. Like, fucking,
yeah.
I don't know.
And then we gotta wait, what, until the end of April to find out, because apparently the show wants to take a break for 3 months.
Yeah. Piece of shit.
All right.
Oops.
Let's move into Supergirl then. Supergirl, Season 2, Episode 10, We Can Be Heroes.
Wow, we can be heroes, Christian.
Good to know.
Fine, whatever, dude.
When Livewire apparently breaks out of prison, Supergirl sets out to recapture her.
Who writes these synopses?
So
what do you think of the episode, dude?
I think this episode was pretty good. Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought it was so good, dude. I was like, this might be, like, my favorite Supergirl episode, you know? Like, it was so good. Like, how good was it, dude? It was so good.
Yeah, so.
Kara, no, seriously, it was really good, guys. You should check this episode out.
Kara thought she was Louis Long Schlong in this episode.
Yeah, seriously, dude. She was like, nobody can be a hero other than me.
And Mon-El.
Me and Mon-El forever.
And I don't like Mon-El.
Until Mon-El says something, I will like him, but then when he says something, I will not like him.
Yeah. She like chased him outside. She's like, do you like me? And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude. And then like he finally admits that at the end. She doesn't even say anything. She doesn't say anything.
She's like, oh.
It's just like it's like Jimmy all over again. She spent all this time chasing Jimmy because of his hard abs and stuff. And then...
In the long day.
Yeah. And then he's like, let's date. And she's like, cool. And then they date for like a week and a half. And she's like, yeah, I need to find Kara first.
What do you mean? She's right here. Do I need to put an APP out on you?
Yeah.
Breaking news. Kara Danvers is missing.
Yeah. But I like Jimmy's response to all of it. And, you know...
challenge to trial by combat.
That sword's way over there. I can't reach it. I lost my train of thought because you're trying to murder me with a letter opener. Yeah.
What are you talking about, dude?
So, Wynn is an all-star.
Yeah, dude, he's of like, course. We've been
he's
saying
like the
that
greatest
since...
character in this show.
Okay, I think it's all time for everybody just to admit that he's really Jimmy Olsen, and Jimmy Olsen is just Guardian.
Yeah, Jimmy Olsen, he's like, sometimes being Jimmy Olsen isn't enough. Well, a good thing you're not Jimmy Olsen.
Dude,
that's why it's not enough.
I hecka said that, dude. I was like, good thing you're not Jimmy Olsen. Dude, this episode was so good. With Shaw and...
Megan.
Yeah,
Megan
and that stuff was like so intense.
I don't think
his
name is Shaw, is it?
Isn't it?
I don't think so. John Jones. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hank Henshaw.
Is it Henshaw?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That was a Shaw. I wonder why it sounded awkward. I couldn't figure out his name. Okay. Okay.
Jean Jones. Yes.
Jean Jones. Dude, yeah, that stuff was like super intense though. Like it was
he's
really
like,
intense.
He's like, I don't care. I wouldn't do anything for her. And he's like, I'll do everything for you. Don't worry.
Yeah,
babes.
Like I didn't really appreciate that transition because it was just so flip flop, like immediately. But it's like, I love like his outburst of anger and stuff, and like the raw emotion you get from that scene.
Yeah.
It was intense.
What did you think of Kara letting Livewire go, send her free, pretty much?
Fly free, little bird. Fly free. That was horseshit.
You just giving up now?
Yep.
But the Maggie stuff, Maggie and...
Who's Alex, Maggie?
Maggie and Alex.
Oh, yeah.
That's some good stuff going on. Scott's a little out of it today.
Don't be saying no names to me and whatnot, boy.
All right, we pretty much botched talking about Supergirl.
We don't like your kind around here, boy.
What would you grade Supergirl then?
9 point. Wait for it a little longer. Just a second longer. 5.
All right, I give an 8.5.
Scumbag.
All right.
Moving on to the Flash.
Yeah, let's do the Flash now. All right, read this Flash synopsis if you can.
Oh, you know, all right, yeah, just boss me around, cool. Flash, season 3, episode 11. Dead or alive, Barry Allen and Cisco Ramon must work together to save Harrison Wells, HR, from... wait for it. An interdimensional bounty hunter who seeks to kill him as it is a crime on Earth 19 to transport yourself to another Earth. Cisco and Barry must fight against the bounty hunter in a fight to the death to save Harrison Wells' life. Even though that's the wrong synopsis.
Yeah, kind of. Anyway,
No, Cisco must fight her. Not that.
Yeah. No.
Now,
Barry,
how come the synopsis doesn't read out that, like, you know, Cisco's like clearly in love with this lady?
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's an important part of it, right?
Vixen.
She is a vixen.
Rawr.
Yeah. She's like, she's female Cisco. Like, actual just female Cisco.
Yeah. Dude, it's like a perfect match.
Yeah. She's like, bye, Cisco. And he's like, what an accent. He just
what
pants
an
there.
Accent.
So yeah.
All right, moving on. Just kidding, guys.
Gypsy's great. Yep, Gypsy. Cisco is amazing as well. All-star Carlo Valdez. Julian was a good addition to the team, I think.
So what do you think about Iris's like death wish?
I think Iris is just coming to terms with the idea that she'll probably die. You stole my pen.
Accept it.
But I need to write stuff.
I don't care.
All right. So, yeah, like, this episode I thought was very good.
Yeah, me too. Like, no, like, it was, like, pretty good. I mean, it wasn't Supergirl good, but it was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we really wasn't surprised that Cisco won this fight.
Yeah.
Like, we all kind of knew that was going to happen, right?
Dude, it's, like, so funny, though, like, how Julian was acting with him. And I was just like, yeah, you're just going to lose. You got like a 1 out of 10 chance.
he's like on a scale from 1 to 10. What are my chances? He's like, it's a pretty solid 1, mate.
It's pretty solid 1, mate. But then Julian comes up with a brilliant analysis, you know, from the footage of Gypsy fighting them.
Yeah, he's a pretty good addition to Team Flash so far.
I like it so far. I wasn't sure how I was gonna like it, but then I was like,
yeah,
this is a good one.
He's more like Sheldon now than Malfoy, so.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Or good. I guess more Hermione. But like Hermione was never like that mean.
A jerk.
Well, she was in the early books. You know, she's like, it's Leviosa,
not Leviosa.
She's a nightmare, honestly. But yeah, the Flash was good. I gave it a 9.
I would agree.
I do hope to see more of Gypsy.
Me too.
I
was a little upset that, you know, for some reason, you know, Cisco didn't, like, get the kiss.
I know. Like, but he was like, what an exit again.
What an exit.
So, yeah, the one thing we didn't talk about is now Wally is the loophole, pretty much. He's the scapegoat. He gets to save Iris because he can run faster than Barry. So.
No, he cannot run faster, but his progression is
faster. Yeah, he can run faster than Barry did at this point in Barry's amount of time having powers.
Yes, he's progressing at an...
He will be faster than Barry.
Yes. Pretty much, that was, you know, the gathering of information that was presented to us.
Yes. So, let's move on to Legends of Tomorrow.
Sick, dude!
Legends of Tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 10, The Legion of Doom. Scott's eating chocolate, so that's the
What are you talking about? I'm not eating anything.
The Legends must find the Spear of Destiny before they can rescue Rip, while Malcolm and Damian realize that Thawne is pitting them against each other. No, they don't. No, they don't notice that.
What?
They don't realize that Thawne's pitting them against each other. Rip does, and he points it out to them, and they're like, don't listen to this guy. And they're like, oh, he might have a point. So,
yeah.
Anyway, the Legion of Doom obviously just don't get along. That's, like, the first thought I had. So, what'd you think of, like the only real purpose the Legends of Tomorrow served, right, in this episode was to tell Stein's daughter that she's an aberration. What'd you think of that?
No, and to figure out who the speedster was.
Yes, they figured that out as well.
Because Stein's brilliant.
Right. It's Eobard Thawne.
It's Eobard!
Like, and then
Eobard,
like,
are you there?
They reframed the show to be like from the point of view of the Legion of Doom instead of like the Legends.
I like that. I liked it a lot. I thought it was quite clever, and it was actually more entertaining than like what Legends of Tomorrow is. And like, it's even funnier, but like, well, actually I can't even say that, because like last week's episode was really good for them. Like one that I felt like one of their best, like trying to accomplish like what the frame of the show is trying to do. But that was last week. This is this week.
Yeah.
And they showed it from a different point of view.
Yeah, I think this week's was better than last week.
Oh, fuck off.
So Riri Rip Hunter, smart guy. He brings Dark and Merlin together. Zoom is hunting Reverse Flash or Black Flash, I guess.
Oh, somebody's talking to us.
Oh. Hi, Sierra. Hi. Hi. We miss you. Woo!
She's like, what did I walk into?
Yeah, so Black Flash is hunting him. Rip's mind has been altered, so now he's a bad guy, right?
What? Right. No way.
So... I thought this was a very good episode.
No, it was definitely a good episode. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So now that we know that we have like what was it that they called it that was chasing Reverse Flash?
They didn't call it anything, but it's Black Flash. Remember?
Yes.
He got taken by the time race.
Oh yeah, it's Black Flash coming for that ass.
Yeah, yeah. That was cool. I thought the effects on him were pretty good, to be
honest.
Yeah,
it was quite good.
Now we have a solidified Legion of Doom now, I guess. So hopefully moving forward, Legends continues to get better and not regressively worse like it has in the past.
I think it's on the right track to accomplish what it set out to be, like a fun show. Nothing like quite as serious as The Flash emotionally or like as dark as like Arrow, something of its own, and I think it's finally starting to find its footing in its second season second season. Hopefully they kind of wrap up the whole like hippie Rip Hunter story soon. Like I hope they get his memories back, because I do feel like that's something that the show has been missing, was Rip Hunter. But
yeah, well, next week apparently he's gonna kill George Washington, so
yeah, I mean, that's always good, right?
So what would you grade this episode?
I would grade it an 8.0.
Really?
Yes.
I gave it a 9. I think this episode was very good.
Okay.
I think it was the high end of Legends that we've seen so far.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I took these notes at work, so I have different paper form.
Do we still have a viewer?
No. Sierra abandoned us.
Oh.
So, all right, we're going to move into Arrow now. All right.
Arrow season 5. Jesus, this show just doesn't stop, does it? Episode 11, Second Chances. Talia al Ghul helps Oliver Queen take down Kovar. But he isn't sure he wants it. When she reveals what she requests in return. That's it. Like, that's the...
Okay, anyway, so this episode is really about something else. So this lady, right, legit has, like, the same powers as Earth 2 Laurel, right?
Yeah.
Which is, like, kind of weird. Talia al Ghul was great, though, right?
Yeah, I thought she was pretty good.
Yeah, so the new Black Canary was pretty feisty. Her name was Tina Boland, but that was just a cover-up. Her real name is Dinah Drake.
Yeah.
And if you guys know anything about comic books, you know that Dinah Drake in Golden Age was the mother of Dinah Laurel Lance.
Yep.
But in the New 52, that is the name that Black Canary actually goes by, is Dinah Drake. Because it's like a four-part name. It's Dinah Laurel Drake Lance that she goes by now.
That's just too fancy for me.
Yes.
It's like high maintenance, you know?
But I thought that was a huge like reveal. Like,
yeah.
I think that I like that quite a bit.
You think there's any future for her and Oliver? Because you always have to acknowledge that.
You always have to do that, yeah.
You always have to acknowledge the scenario that, you know, Oliver's a good-looking guy. So any girl that's going to come around him, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially, you know, him working out in there and stuff. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Long hours at the office.
I think that there'll be, that, like, there's already some chemistry there, you know.
Well, no, like, on a serious note, though, like, you really do have to acknowledge it, because just the characters and who they're, you know, Oliver Queen being Green Arrow and this chick assumingly taking up the mantle of Black Canary obviously will raise a question or two. I mean, I think we're all hoping for Laurel Lance to be that person, but, you know, they decided to dream crush me and kill her. Right. So, I mean, there were my dreams of, like, you know, a spinoff series for her.
I know.
But, you know, life must go on.
Yeah. So let's talk about the flashbacks real quick. They're doing the good thing with the flashbacks again, kind of mirroring what's happening in the real world now with what happened before. Yeah.
It's classic Arrow and what they set out to accomplish. Like, each flashback teaches Oliver a lesson from the, it's like a lesson that he learned in the past that's going to help him in the present.
Yeah.
Essentially. And that's just classic Arrow. That's the classic Arrow that we love and we know. And there's a point to these flashbacks now.
Yeah. And, like, well, the actual, like, ending point to this, besides, you know, the second chances and he was a monster and he murdered the dude and whatever.
Yeah.
Is, you know, Talia al Ghul trained the Green Arrow, technically. Like, we got to see him back in his OG suit. Pretty much he's going to be trained by Talia al Ghul.
Yes.
To use a bow and arrow and all that, and I think that's pretty brilliant.
And we also find out that she's Yao Fei's teacher.
Yes.
So Yao Fei was a part of the League of Assassins.
Yes.
Which that was not information that we knew before.
Correct. Yep.
New information, good information. Duh.
So John Diggle gets released because of Felicity.
I forgot Diggle was in here.
Felicity did her little hacking thing. It's like she's going back to being this hacktivist or whatever. That's the thing she loves. So maybe she'll get good again, right? Maybe.
Maybe.
Like, I thought she was good in this episode. That lady who showed up was like a little mini Felicity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the girl who plays Marina in Magicians? It looked a lot like her. And sounded
I don't know.
Like her.
I would have to look again.
Yeah. But like with darker hair. Anyway, so she name dropped this hacktivist group she's in called Helix.
Yes.
Which Helix is a comic book from like the 80s. It's a team of like superhero hackers pretty much. I don't know if they were hackers, but it's like some supervillain team from the 80s in comic books. It was a very short-lived series because it wasn't good. That's all I know about it. But
sick.
Yes. What do you think of that? You think she'll go back to
being... I hope so. I do really hope so because that was like vintage Felicity. That was like the character that the entire nation fell in love with, essentially. Like, the entire audience really came to love like that goofy hacker girl, you know what I mean? And then like they just kind of did a little too much with her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not opposed to, like, you know, women, you know, advancing their positions, like, on a show and stuff like that. But, like, just, like, her annoying attitude towards everything is, like, what really ruined her as a character. And, like, the fact that she got away from, like, the one thing that put her on the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she stopped hacking. She's just, like, around the lair doing nothing all the time. I'm just, like...
just, like, subverting Oliver's will and shit.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Like, she's like, I know better than Oliver.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like...
surefire way to get kicked off the team, kid.
Yeah.
Last thing, when they're fighting Sean Sonis, Mr. Weirdo with his face powers.
There wasn't a better way they could think of, like, to display the powers. I was just like, what is happening to his face?
I mean, I'm sure you love the fight scene. It was trick arrows galore. You know, like his classic, like, fist punch one, but it was like a small fist, you know?
Yeah. It was like, take the iron fist. Pew!
Yeah. Trick arrows galore. I'm sure you love that.
I do enjoy the trick arrows.
Because I remember earlier, like, because in the first couple seasons, they did some things with it, and then, like, they kind of stopped, and I remember when we were talking about it, you're like, they don't do trick arrows with him anymore, like, it's so annoying, like, where are his trick arrows, you know?
Yeah, and it's always, like, they would, like, use, like, the same ones over and over again, like, the MP ones.
Yeah.
Like, some sort of explosive ones, but they wouldn't do, like, cool tricks with them, and, like, how, like, this one, he was, like gliding on the helicopter through his bow and arrow and stuff like that. He wouldn't do like the glove. Now he's like doing like he's like using poison gas and stuff and all this, you know, and all kinds of trick arrows and stuff. And I think that's what the audience really wanted.
You know what's funny is, right, the first two seasons they did him a lot. In third and fourth season, when he stopped killing people, they didn't use him at all. Like, that's when you would use him the most, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, now he's back to killing people, and now he's, you know, not using him anymore. But anyway, I thought this was a great episode. I give this like a 9.6.
9.6.
Yeah,
I'll give it a 9.4.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, it was an excellent episode.
I think it was the best show of the week.
So we're gonna do winners and losers of the week. So my winner would be Supergirl. I thought it was outstanding. I thought, I thought this episode set itself apart from the rest. Just due to like all like the emotional scenes that it provided us with, and like really intense scenes as well. I thought that because the show's not usually on par with these other shows, and the fact that it was just up there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it, in my opinion, it just deserved that best show of the week title this week. The worst show of the week was, which one did I give the 7 to? The Gotham, right? That was Gotham, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
Gotham was an outstanding, like, it was a good episode, and maybe I went a little hard on it due to some pacing issues and just due to, you know, just the whole annoyingness of, like...
Yeah, like, these are elements that were introduced way before the winter break, like, probably midway through, like, the first 10 episodes. And now they're bringing them back all of a sudden on episode 14, like 8 or 9 episodes later. Like
remember your and Jamar's like big complaint about like not being able to understand like when the Flash was like going between dimensions and stuff like that. Like it was hard to tell like what setting that they were in. Like you had to really pay attention. Like that's how I felt when I like looked at like doppelganger Bruce like standing before the court. Yeah. I was like, what is he doing there? I was like,
Because you forget, you know, like, because it's so long ago. Like,
and, like, last time we seen him, he didn't he have, like the long hair, right?
Yeah, like, well, he cut his hair, remember?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, what, but, yeah, like, they expect you to remember all that from way back then. And, like, the thing is, like, when I first saw him, I was like, why is Bruce there? And I was like, oh, it has to be his doppelganger then. Like, that makes sense, you know, like, but whatever. Yeah, Gotham's my loser of the week as well.
Not to say that it was a bad episode. It just wasn't as good as the other episodes.
Right. And then Arrow was my winner. If I could pick Riverdale, it would be my winner every week forever.
Dude,
but
dude, that show is intense. Me and Christian, you know, off camera and off podcast, we are going to seriously discuss whether or not we're going to pick up that show. But there's so much stuff to consider when we pick up a show as well. Yeah. So we'll decide and we'll let you guys know. We'll probably just announce it like on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
So
for sure. Yeah,
just another reason for you guys to be following us on social media. You guys would know that we're on Facebook Live at the moment. You guys could watch our live podcast whenever we decide to go live.
Yep.
You know, you could interact with us live on the podcast, you know, ask us questions and you can hear us answer them like later on through the podcast or whatever. You know, Periscope will go directly to Twitter and then Instagram Live, obviously on Instagram. We're still looking into the capabilities of Instagram Live. So we'll let you guys know about that. Make sure you guys go check out our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Website designed by Christian himself. It's absolutely brilliant, guys. Lots of cool features. Make sure you guys go check it all out.
Yeah, episode grades that we just said will be updated on there as well. You can see kind of like a wrap up of this podcast with all the links to all the articles we talked about with the episode descriptions. And things like that. So yeah, check all that out. It'll be in the podcast description as well, along with links to our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and website. So
yep. Just for some shout outs, thank you to Nicholas J and Jamar, our favorite Twitter followers, always interacting with us on social media. We do urge everyone, all of our listeners, to interact with us. We will respond to you guys. We love to interact with everyone, and you know, please leave some feedback, you know, through whatever. We're always looking to improve in sorts. Shout out to Reality Comics, social media for nerds. Link is on our website. Again, that is www.nerdyboysreviews.com. The link is on the homepage all the way towards the bottom.
Yep.
Shout out to Serena, our favorite Twitch.tv gamer. She's one of our friends out here in Sacramento. And we love to support our friends and all of their endeavors. So please go check out our stream, twitch.tv/ChaiStar. That's C-H-I-I-S-T-A-R, ChaiStar.
Yep. She plays a variety of things.
Yeah. She plays a variety of games, mainly MMO, like World of Warcraft, things like that. She played like Dark Souls 3 in the past. And I tuned in, I think, like Friday night, and I don't know what she was playing. She's playing something, but she's a very cool chick. Please go check out the out her stream. If her subscribe button's on, go subscribe to her. If not, drop her a follow. Let her know that the Nerdy Boys sent you her way.
Yep.
Anybody?
I think that's it. Thanks again to everybody who bought.
Oh no, Nerd Variety Podcast.
Oh yeah, I thought you already said them for some reason.
No. I started off with Reality Comics. So Nerd Variety Podcast, a podcast for nerds. From our friends out there in
Virginia.
What? Oh, is it Virginia? Okay. I always want to say West Virginia, but yeah, they're out in Virginia. We're looking to collab with them pretty soon. Still waiting to hear back on some details on that. So stay tuned. As soon as we know something, we'll update you guys as well. You can find them on iTunes. They have a Facebook and a Twitter page, so make sure you guys go drop them a follow as well.
Yeah, and thanks again to everybody who bought shirts or sweatshirts from us.
Yeah.
This is something we're hoping to do periodically. And you know, hopefully you guys are still interested when we do them in the future with different designs and things like that. We're really excited for the future of the show, and we appreciate all the support from anybody who just shared it to anybody who actually spent money to help us.
Yeah. We're looking to finalize our next t-shirt design sometime in the next couple of weeks. As soon as that design is finalized and we have it, we'll be sharing it on Twitter to hype up the next merchandise sale.
Yeah.
So just another reason to be following us on social media, guys.
Yep.
So I think that's all we got for you, right?
That's it for this week. So.
Yes. Stay tuned for next week, and you can find all of our previous podcasts on podbean.com, iTunes, Libsyn, the Google Music Play Store.
Stitcher.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Make sure you guys go rate and subscribe to us. Leave us some feedback and share yourself with your friends and family. Thank you guys so much for staying tuned and staying through the whole podcast. We are your host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we got one simple message for you, and that's stay nerdy, boys.